Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. It has been well documented that in Bexar County, we have a serious problem of deadly violence against women coming from their male intimate partners. This also includes young women, teens, with their dating partners. We're going to be talking about what's being done to protect women in Bexar County from domestic violence. Also, we'll be talking about how the coronavirus outbreak is impacting those efforts. But first, this morning, I spoke with Raina Castro, the mother of Aaron Castro, who was murdered. The suspect is her boyfriend, Joshua Garcia. Raina is speaking out about her daughter's case in order to help others realize how serious teen dating violence is, how to recognize some of the red flags. And the audio here is a little glitchy, but it is a very powerful story. In 2016, there was a terrible incident that happened with Joshua Garcia and your daughter, Aaron Castro. What happened?
He had picked her up. They were going to go to a friend's house, and they ended up getting into an argument where they started fighting. He hit her. He broke her nose. I think he panicked because he was wondering what he was going to do with her. They continued to fight, and he pushed her out of his moving vehicle. Then he came back around and picked her up, put her back in his car, and he took her to a convenience store where he tried to clean her up and put makeup on her before he brought her home. I guess since that didn't work, he left her off a couple blocks from the house where she walked home. In the morning when I woke up and I saw her, it hurt my heart. And I asked her what happened, and she said she got into a fight with girls, which I knew immediately that was a lie, because Aaron didn't have any enemies. That wouldn't happen with her.
So she had a broken nose and other, right, and other bruises and scrapes and other...
She had like rose burn on her leg. Like all her skin had been taken off.
He was arrested and charged and convicted, aggravated assault with a deadly weapon using the vehicle, given 2 years probation.
Yeah.
And part of the probation was that he was not allowed to have contact with Aaron. That didn't happen. Continued to have contact with each other.
Yeah. Unfortunately, you know, with teens, with Aaron, she was a fixer. She gave chances. She felt like she could help him. There was always a sob story with him. You know, his mother didn't care about him. She felt bad for him, and she felt like, you know, she could help him. If she could just get him on his feet, he'd be okay. And eventually, she stayed away from him for a while, but eventually she began to talk to him again.
On her birthday, her 19th birthday,
it was September 1st, 2018.
And they got into another fight.
He had left her at a convenience store where she called her friend. I'd been on the phone with her on and off all night. We'd been texting and talking all night. And she told me that they were fighting. I told her, well, it's your birthday. Don't fight. I'll go get you. I'll pick you up wherever you are. She had told her friends to pick her up. But while she was on the phone, she said, never mind, here he comes. And that's the last time they heard of her. I talked to her after that. She started to get frantic, though. When the last time I did talk to her, she was crying, and she didn't know where she was. And I told her, I'll come get you and get out of the car. She couldn't get out. She didn't know where she was. He ended up running her over several times.
From what I've read, he stabbed her, threw her out of the car, ran over her at least twice. He got out of the car, and then he kicked her, and then he drove away.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
And you were on the phone with her during what part of this?
I don't know what part I was, but I'm assuming it was the very end because, like I said, we had been talking on and off through the night and texting, but in those last moments when she called me hysterical, I can remember I was outside already with my keys and my purse, just trying to find out where she was so I could go start heading that way, and she started screaming something that I had never heard in my life, a scream like a horrified, scared scream, and then the phone went dead. And that's when I ran to my neighbor's house, and I tried to keep her on the phone because I couldn't hear anything, but I could see that the phone was still going. The time was still going on the phone. So I kept trying to call out to her. And my neighbors called the police, and they were able to track her through her phone.
Looking back at his first arrest for the aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, when he threw your daughter out of the car and her nose was broken, and she had a lot of her skin was scarred from the being thrown out of the vehicle, road burn. And he got 2 years probation for that. Do you think that he should have gotten more time? Should have gotten real time?
Yes. I can remember Aaron. It took a long time for the DA's office to even reach out to her to get a victim statement, and a long time. And I can remember her saying, they're not going to do anything to him. He's going to get away with it. They're just not, they don't care. They're not going to do anything. And I think had something serious been done, maybe he would have stayed away. Maybe it would have scared him enough to stay away from her. And it would have bought her more time to be away from him as well.
This case has become very important for the community. Many people are watching it. There's a hashtag, Justice for Aaron. People are watching it to see.
Right. It is important because these slaps on the wrist, you know, the abuser will always come back more mad. And it will happen. It'll be worse the next time. That's what happened here. And she didn't get justice the first time. I think she lost hope. Because it was a very serious matter, and that's all he got was probation. She could have been killed that night. I remember her crying about that. But Aaron wasn't one to dwell on things. She changed, right away she changed course, and she was like, felt sorry for him.
That was Raina Castro, the mother of Aaron Castro, who was murdered. The suspect is her boyfriend, Joshua Garcia. We're now joined by Marta Pelaez, the president and CEO of the Family Violence Prevention Services, and Francisca Retre, CEO of the YWCA of San Antonio. You can join our conversation as we talk about teen domestic violence. The number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. It's a new number for our new studios, 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. Marta, there's a lot in that interview, a lot of lessons to be learned.
My goodness, that is very, very, very powerful. It doesn't matter how many times you hear stories like this, it still hits you like if it were the first time. Before I say anything else, I want to commend the mother for her strength. it's just a short year ago that her daughter was killed. So we appreciate your courage.
The takeaway from all of this, really, there's a reason why we're doing this. This is not just to have this horrible story told on the air and we hear this mother's awful experience. It's because we're trying to learn lessons. And there's a lot of them here.
Yes.
And the big takeaway I wonder about was the probation that was given to the suspect in the murder, Joshua Garcia. Okay. So, and he was given 2 years probation and ordered no contact with Aaron. Is that a typical sort of outcome for that kind of charge?
Well, David, we all need to understand very clearly that domestic abuse is progressive. It progresses into more severe phases and stages until it gets to this. I am sure that there was a lot of abuse before it got to this. There had to be the signs of abuse, the softer signs. But people, adults and teens, need to understand they cannot change the perpetrator. It doesn't matter the age. With teens, it takes on a different phase because typically, a teen will want the violence to stop, not the relationship. They fall in love thinking that jealousy is part of that relationship and part of the dynamics of dating somebody else. They're still very new at it. They're very impulsive. The victim, the girls, typically will excuse the guy's behavior. They cover for him. The mother said so much. We need to talk to the teens, just like we have conversations about so many other issues. This is a very important one.
Francesca Retre, CEO of the YWCA San Antonio, you have a program that you're now putting out that's helping young women learn these lessons with the program rather than going through this experiences the hard way, right?
That's right, David. It's about long-term culture change for women and men. The YWCA, our mission is to empower women and eliminate racism, and we're part of a network of 215 YWCAs around the country, and more than half of them are involved in domestic violence prevention and services. So this grant from the City of San Antonio is our first foray into this. So we will be partnering with Hazelden Betty Ford Center, known for its substance abuse treatment that has developed curriculum that's been used for 20 years across the country and has been proven to change behavior among teens. And we will be following a train-the-trainer model with school districts in San Antonio, SAISD. We're working to develop a partnership, Edgewood ISD and possibly Harlandale, which the three of these were chosen because they are on the east, west, and south sides, that famous T-zone of San Antonio where poverty is concentrated and where poverty makes everything worse, including relationship challenges and domestic violence. So this will be a new program for us, and we're hoping to train about 100 teachers to incorporate this into their daily lesson plans with teenagers.
And is the idea, Marta, is that this is a cultural problem in San Antonio.
Yes, it is.
If you want to change the culture, you've got to start young, right?
Absolutely. We have to. We have to make the parents feel comfortable having these conversations with the children. It begins at home. Do not feel that the responsibility is with somebody else. You have the very first line of responsibility. have these conversations with your child and prepare the environment. Just prepare yourself. Dig into the literature. It's very robust. There are sites that have 1 to 10, what questions to ask, how to do it, so that you arrive at having your teen disclose to you if the relationship she or he is in is a healthy one, so that you may provide the tools.
Okay, so we're going to go to a break right now. When we come back, I do want to ask you about how the coronavirus and the outbreak and the pandemic and people sheltering in place and in quarantining, how that is impacting domestic violence here locally. How can you stay at home when home is not a safe place? And who can you reach out to? And are some of the first responders who can help you, like the domestic violence workers, if they can, if they're still there for you right now? This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about teen dating violence, and you can join the conversation. We have a new phone number, 833-TPR-TALK, and that is 833-877-8255. And with us to talk about this, I also want to tell John and Jennifer, I see you on the board. I'm going to get you on the air in just a second, but I want to get this question out to Marta Pelaez, President and CEO of the Family Violence Prevention Services. What's happening with the coronavirus? How is that impacting people who, I mean, if home is not a safe place, what does that mean for you?
Well,
if you have to shelter in place?
Yeah, absolutely. The shelter, the Battered Women and Children's Shelter, is there 24/7. Nothing has changed. If you are in an abusive situation, please, please call the police. Go to the nearest police station. They will know what to do, including transporting you to the shelter. We're there. Nothing has changed. Internally, we may be very aware of what is happening outside, so we're practicing social distancing and changing some of the things, some of the ways they, in which we do things inside the shelter.
Like wiping things down extra?
Yes. I mean, the hygiene things and the way that we distribute meals, that is going on. But the mission of the shelter to keep people safe is very much alive, and we're there.
And but with the people, I saw that so many people are losing their jobs now. And then this whole thing is a stressor. I mean, everybody's stressed out.
Domestic violence feeds off stressors. So we are expecting that those numbers may come up, because that is 43 years of experience. That is what typically happens.
All right. And well, we'll just keep coming back to this as things develop, if you can think of what more people need to know in that regard. But I want to get these callers on the air. Again, our new phone number is 833-TPR-TALK, 833-877-8255. Jennifer has called in. Jennifer, welcome to The Source. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Real quick, when I was 16, I was in an abusive relationship as well. I never told my parents and everything. It didn't happen till like a year after, but it's just amazing to me, or like shocking to me, because I meet girls now and like I can count like 10 on hand that like have been through the same thing, and I'm just like, it's just sad that there's that many girls who are going through the same thing that I had went through. I'm 32 now, and I'm like getting therapy for it. Like, it still haunts me.
Jennifer, thank you for calling in with that. Francesca Rattray, with the CEO of the YWCA San Antonio. Talk about, I mean, you hear Jennifer talking about it. She went through it, and now she's worried about her own daughters. This is something that goes generation to generation.
definitely generation to generation. And the curriculum that we'll be using in the schools will be to empower women to identify the red flags early on. You may not know that digs at your self-esteem or your looks or your body may, you know, count as abuse, but it is, and it snowballs into larger things. And the curriculum that we'll be sharing in the classroom will be addressing how do parents and how do teens, how can teachers help identify those early warning signs. And also, this is, like I said, about long-term culture change. What you see in your homes, you take with you. And so, as you're saying, breaking that cycle and creating your own culture of dealing with those stressors that Marta was addressing earlier in a healthy way, that's what this curriculum will teach young people how to do.
Now, a lot of judgy people out there say, well, if you're in a relationship and the boyfriend is abusive, and why don't you get out? And a lot of people don't really understand the manipulative nature of these type of situations. And Marta, if you could kind of talk about that.
Absolutely. That manipulative behavior is central to domestic violence from the very onset. It does not begin with the horrific things that we heard Aaron's mother tell us, but it begins in very subtle ways with name-calling, making conditions on the girl. Don't do that or else. Putting her down, the way that she looks, the way that she dresses, making fun of her in front of her friends, telling her that if she tells her parents, they will probably make them break up the situation, the relationship. So all of those things are signs, telltale signs that the relationship is not a healthy one. Talk to your teens. I will say that until I am blue in the face. You can share your very own experiences as a teen. Many times as parents, we forget to share those with our kids. We were once children. We were once teens. And we have those experiences to begin a conversation with our daughters and our sons, to let them know that they can trust us. And once there is that trust, then you can provide the tools, can provide valuable information. Even if it's not taken from you, you can suggest a phone number to call the dating, the teen dating violence site is a wonderful one, to read about it so that they don't have to take your every word for it. Make sure that you are providing the space for your teen to have these valuable conversations with you. Do not be put off by her just laughing about it or say, oh, it's not a big deal, because that's how they are. Just make sure that you know it is a big deal.
Our number again, 833-877-8255. That's also 833-TPR-TALK. Let's go to John on the phones. John, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you. I've been married for over 20 years, and one of the things that frustrates me when talking to young people about marriage is that everybody has a pretty clear, accepted definition of what an abusive relationship looks like, but there's millions of different ways to have a healthy, positive, supportive relationship. And so many of the resources and organizations I see, and you know, I've seen plenty of fads come and go over the years, if you're not in these boxes, you don't have a healthy relationship. And then for a teenager who maybe doesn't have the best role models at home or in the community, they can take that to say, well, maybe I'm being abused, but it hits on these other things, so it's okay. So what's being done to help teens understand and role model positive relationships instead of just focusing on the negative side of abusive relationships?
John, thank you for that call. Francesca Retre with the CEO of YWCA San Antonio.
So that is really what this curriculum is based on. The curriculum is called Safe Dates, and it is about modeling healthy relationships. It's a 10-session curriculum that begins with what does a healthy relationship look like? and going through what do unhealthy relationships look like. So each session takes into account the idea of what a healthy relationship is.
But people only know what they've experienced. So if I come from a household where there is a lot of yelling and hot-headedness and throwing things and breaking and hitting people, then, I mean, it's kind of, you can tell them, but how do they learn to change their behavior?
So with this, this curriculum is all about behavior change and meeting regularly, monthly, to go over the curriculum, modeling what healthy relationships look like, identifying what is considered unhealthy. The curriculum also includes a play in which the students actually model a conflict in a relationship and work through it based on the tools that are provided through this curriculum. So those are just some components of how this is attempting to break what children are seeing at home.
Right, but a lot of people think that jealousy, when you show doubt, jealousy doesn't tell me how much you love me. Jealousy tells me how weak you are. I mean, and I don't know if people really process that. So how do you, especially the young men, are they part of these conversations as well?
Absolutely. Our goal is to reach about 20,000 students in the school districts, boys and girls. So it is teaching, creating a common language, first of all. You know, if you feel jealous, is that a healthy part of a relationship, for example, to your point? But boys and girls will absolutely be involved in understanding what their role is in relationships and what they can do to contribute to making a healthy relationship.
Marta, what are you seeing in regards to, I mean, is this a boy and on girl problem, but it can also be the other way around too?
It is. And in teenagers, it takes the statistics are almost 50-50. It's 40-something. It's not an even thing. What happens is that the boy, because of his physique, the harm that he does, of course, is greater. But girls also engage in manipulative behavior and more emotional behavior than physical. But to the point that was being discussed before, teens work and live in the concrete world, and they need very concrete messages, very clear, short messages. I typically say, and this also goes for adults, the test to a relationship, whether it is a respectful one or not, is if there is fear. There are all kinds of emotions in a relationship, but the one emotional component that should never be there is fear. If you are afraid of your boyfriend, there is a reason for that fear. And fear doesn't have to be explained. So you can just ask, are you afraid?
All right, we're taking another break. Our phone lines are open. You can call in. We're talking about teen domestic violence, how we can break the cycle here in San Antonio. The number is 833-877-8255. That's also 833-TPR-TALK. Join our conversation as we figure out how we can make San Antonio a safer city for women. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about teen dating violence, and you can call in with your questions and comments. The number is 833-877-8255. We do have an email question from Anthony. Will the curriculum be modeled only on heterosexual relationships? Francesca Retre, what do you think?
No, it will include all teen all relationships between all.
Because this is a problem basically for all types of relationships.
Exactly.
And I want to go back to you, Marta Pelaez, the Family Violence Prevention Services, and highlight this again with the coronavirus pandemic. The shelter is still operating.
we are first responders. We have a critical mission for the community. We save lives. It is a life-saving mission. The shelter is operating no differently than it has in the past. I've been in touch with law enforcement officials. I spoke to the sheriff this morning, making sure that he passes the word on to anyone that may be asking him. We're operating no differently than we've operated for the past 43 years. We will be making some adjustments internally to make sure that we provide our services within a healthy context, given the situation in which we find ourselves. But everything is the same.
Francesca, what are the outcomes of these workshops that you have?
Well, as Marta was saying, she's a frontline, first-line responder. We are root causes and long-term culture change, as I've been saying. So in addition to raising awareness about what constitutes healthy and abusive dating relationships, students will also be aware of what is dating abuse and what causes it, and help students with give them the skills and resources they need to help friends or others in abusive dating relationships. And then finally, equip students with healthy relationship skills such as communication, anger management, and conflict resolution. The Safe Dates curriculum that we are will be working with Hazelden to deliver has been shown to even reduce rates of bullying in school districts. So that's all about healthy relationships.
If I may say, anger management is not one of the phrases that we use in domestic violence, because it acts on the external locus of control. So in other words, if the environment is controlled for you, then I'm okay. It's the job. It's the children that are crying. It's the so-and-so. It's the job. It's the soup that didn't have enough salt. But when you have an internal locus of control, then you are accountable to yourself, to the people around you, and to the community at large. So just a word of caution.
All right. Let me go to the phone. This is Jerry. Jerry, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi, hello. I had a quick question. A lot of the behaviors that you seem to be talking about as far as domestic violence seem to kind of apply to friendships. You know, my daughter's 10 years old, and a lot of the things that you're saying are things that she's kind of, if not word by word saying, but the sentiment is coming across. So how much of that is just mean girls, or how much of that could actually be something that I could, how would I talk about that with her, I guess, is my question.
All right, Jerry, thank you for that call. Francesca.
So what exactly you're describing, teens are more susceptible to that sort of, you know, not fully developed brains and managing healthy relationships. And so the Safe Dates curriculum, as I mentioned just before the call, focus has been proven to help with reduction in bullying. So this would definitely be able to help you in talking to your children about just how to be kind and empathetic to each other, which extends to relationships, which extends to romantic relationships.
Another caller. This is Art. Art, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi. My question is, somebody that has a protective order, let's just say for they've been abused or whatever in an abusive relationship. Now, how does that person react to somebody that is within 1,000 feet or 500 feet? I mean, how are they going to know? You know, that person is there. You know, there's no. It doesn't even give the person time to call 911 until the person's right in front of their face. You know, so how do y'all handle issues like that?
Protective orders, Marta Pelaez.
You just described the perfect situation where the protective order perhaps is questionable. What effect it's going to have when you lift your eyes and the person is in front of you. So typically we say call the police immediately because he is violating that protective order and he will be arrested. But, you know, yet again, not everybody is given that opportunity. So we have to go back to the law and make sure that the tools that are available to victims to protect themselves are actually working to do just that. There are a few gaps. That is one. It has been suggested that technology can help, and bills have been presented before the legislature to address some of those gaps. Sometimes politics makes it into these very important life-saving bills that are presented. So I say, please make sure that you understand what the thinking is of that politician that you are going to vote for next time, how he or she sees domestic violence. That is what I propose. Now, about the case of Aaron again, leniency was discussed. How could he have gotten just probation, 2-year probation? There is discretion when these conditions of probation are applied. I would love to see standards, clear standards, so that not only the victims but the perpetrators also understand what is coming to them. We need to take domestic violence as serious as it is. It may mean the life of a person. So there is a lot to be said for the law.
Now we have an email from Carla. Carly, how should parents intervene? When I was a teen, I wanted to do the opposite when my parents told me to do something.
That is a typical teenager. And again, go back to your experiences. So one question that I would ask a teenager, if there is that opportunity, is just ask her general questions. Don't start by asking one question that is related specifically to her dating. Just ask her, you know, what do you think of this thing that people keep talking about, this teen violence thing? What do you think? Just hear her thoughts, so that with that conversation not being contested one, but a friendly one, you can hear where she is in all of this, and then you can perhaps interject and correct and maybe invite her together, the two of you, because you as a parent perhaps don't know it all. So invite her to join you and maybe the two of you will find out.
So I have an email from Randy. I share resources for healthy male behavior models with my middle school students. Such things are important when our society keeps developing men who cannot deal with life without hurting the ones they are with, the ones that they love. And so, Francesca, if you could talk about how this could do, these types of lessons, they could be imparted to children at all times. I mean, this is not just for you to do in your workshops, but this is just everyone should be trying to teach these things.
Absolutely. I have two sons. I'm constantly talking to them about what it looks like to respect women. One of the modules in the curriculum is Overcoming Gender Stereotypes, which addresses traditionally male roles in relationships and how you can change them. But for sure, this curriculum and in schools, the teachers will be talking to students about that everyone has a responsibility for contributing to a healthy relationship.
So we heard earlier from Raina Castro, the mother of Aaron Castro. She was murdered allegedly by her boyfriend. He is in court. He is pleading again, saying that he's changed and he is no longer a violent individual. What lessons do we need to learn from these types of cases? Martha Pelaez.
Again, domestic violence, teen dating violence is progressive. It is progressive. It is not for us to determine what happens to this individual who is jailed. It
young
is for
women
the law.
Who die at the hands of young men who are dealing with jealousy, this is avoidable, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. If there is enough information, education is key. education is key. Francesca, you are involved in an awesome task ahead of you. Educating the youth is key. Right. We cannot start at age 13 or 14 because 89% of teens between the ages of 13 and 18 say that they have been in a dating relationship.
And Francesca, your YWCA curriculum, is that going into Bexar County schools?
Yes, we are working to build partnerships with SAISD, Edgewood, and Harlandale. That may be a little delayed now that schools are closed, but we are moving in that direction.
Could that be put online real quickly?
We would explore that. That would be up to Hazelden, our partner.
All right. Francesca Retre, she is the CEO of the YWCA San Antonio, and Martha Pillai is President and CEO of Family Violence Prevention Services. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.